Mike Gonzalez left Cuba as a boy in the 1970s, one of the children in a wave of families fleeing Fidel Castro's government. 6 decades later, that government still can't feed its own people. Cuba now imports nearly all of its food, and the ration book system the state introduced in 1962 is still running, shelves increasingly bare behind it. Gonzalez grew up, became a speechwriter in the George W. Bush administration, and built a career studying communist governments up close. Now he's telling anyone who will listen that Congress is heading down the same road. Just earlier in the trip, you're listening to Civic Intelligence, where the receipts do the arguing. Today, a Cuban refugee's warning about socialism's rising bench strength in Congress, the precise numbers behind it, not the rounded up ones, and the 6-decade record he says nobody running on this platform ever answers for. Gonzalez isn't a pundit reaching for a scary word. He built the resume first: journalist, speechwriter in the George W. Bush administration, and today the Heritage Foundation's Angelus T. Arredondo, a Pluribus Unum Senior Fellow. His most recent report, titled The House of Terror, traces 6 decades of Cuba's government training, funding, and advising authoritarian movements across Latin America and beyond. This is someone whose entire professional output documents what communist governance actually does. That's the background behind the warning he gave Fox News on July 5, 2026. Quote, "We're going to get communists in double digits in the House of Representatives, at least. There's no doubt of that. This is a very bad, vicious cycle that is taking place, and that is going to produce communism in this country if we're not careful." End quote. He isn't alone. Neetu Arnold, a policy analyst at the Manhattan Institute, told Fox News she's tracking the same pattern from a different angle. Not one Washington event, but a city-by-city spread. Local offices, then state legislatures, then Congress. She called it, quote, "a threat to the American way of life," end quote. Both are describing the same mechanism, a political movement building bench strength from the ground up, the way any durable movement does. 2026's primary results, as we're about to walk through, are the clearest evidence yet of how far that bench now reaches. So how big is that bench exactly? Here's where the numbers matter more than the rhetoric. Today, exactly 2 Democratic Socialists of America, DSA, members sit in Congress. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat, of New York's 14th District, and Representative Rashida Tlaib, Democrat, of Michigan's 12th District. 2 out of 435 House seats. That's the count as of today, not a rhetorical device. What changed this year is the pipeline behind them. 4 DSA-backed candidates won primaries in seats safe enough that winning the primary is most of the fight. Chris Rabb, Democrat, won his Philadelphia primary in Pennsylvania's 3rd District by roughly 15 points. Daria Liza Avila Chevalier, Democrat, beat a 5-term incumbent in New York's 13th District. Claire Valdez, Democrat, won the open seat in New York's 7th District. And Milat Quiros, Democrat, beat a 15-term incumbent in Colorado's 1st District. None of the 4 has won a general election yet. November is still ahead. And favored is not the same as guaranteed. But all 4 seats have gone Democratic by wide margins for years, which is why both Fox News and the Washington Examiner treat the primary wins as the effective outcome. Do that arithmetic and you land on 6 total, if all 4 hold on in November. Not double digits. Nationwide, more than 30 self-identified socialists won 2026 primaries at every level of government, out of 150 DSA-backed candidates who ran. 35 advanced or ran unopposed. Gonzalez's double digits line is a projection about where that trend leads, not a description of the Congress sitting today. Both facts belong in the same sentence, and that's exactly where we're putting them. One more name needs a caveat instead of a label. Representative Greg Kasser, Democrat of Texas's 35th District, now chairs the Congressional Progressive Caucus. He belonged to DSA from 2018 to 2022, but dropped the formal membership before running for Congress. He isn't a current DSA member, and this show won't call him one. But a generation of officials who came up through Democratic Socialist Organizing, now holding institutional power inside the Democratic Party, is still very much part of this story. Two more names get thrown around constantly, and neither belongs in a congressional count because neither is in Congress. Mayor Zoran Mamdani, a Democrat and DSA member, is running city-owned grocery stores and a rent freeze in New York City as a real-world test of the platform. And in Washington, D.C., DSA-backed Janice Lewis George, Democrat, the frontrunner in that city's mayoral race, drew a direct threat from President Trump, Republican, who called her a communist and vowed to block her agenda if she wins. Mayors, both of them, not members of Congress. But both feed the same national narrative Gonzalez is warning about. Gonzalez's alarm is grounded in a documented record, not a hunch, and it's worth moving through quickly because it's the whole argument. Mao Zedong's Great Leap Forward, China's forced collectivization campaign from 1958 to 62, produced a famine so severe that the peer-reviewed consensus, published in the medical journal BMJ, and archived by the National Institutes of Health, or NIH, puts the death toll between 30 and 46 million people. That's larger than the combat deaths of either World War for most of the countries involved, and it remains the single deadliest policy failure of the 20th century. Cambodia's Khmer Rouge killed roughly a quarter of its own population between 1975 and 79. The Soviet Union collapsed in 1991 under a command economy that left Russia holding $66 billion in external debt. East Germany, more than 35 years after reunification, still lags at roughly 86% income parity with the West, according to Pew Research. And Cuba, the case Gonzalez knows best because he lived it, isn't history. It's happening now. Fortune's reporting this year found the island imports nearly 100% of its food, up from roughly 80% before the pandemic, as domestic production of staples has cratered. Vegetable oil down 48.5%, butter down 64.1%, pork down 89%. The ration books the government introduced in 1962 are increasingly empty, while stores that take only foreign currency stay stocked. More than 60 years after the revolution, Gonzalez fled as a boy, the country that inspired it is still rationing bread. That record is exactly why the timing of this warning lands the way it does. Trump had been building to it for weeks. On June 24, 2026, he posted on Truth Social that Mayor Mamdani had, quote, pulled through three solid communists, end quote. He didn't name them in the post, but two are easy to identify, Claire Valdez and Daria Lisa Avila Chevalier, the same congressional nominees counted above. The third is Brad Lander, who won a separate New York City race and isn't a DSA member or a congressional candidate at all. A small, telling reminder of how loosely the word gets applied once a president decides to use it. The next day, June 25th, he posted that the communists were, quote, finally making their move, and called them, quote, hardcore, godless communists, end quote. Then came two prepared speeches at the two biggest stages of the year. At Mount Rushmore on July 3rd, he warned of, quote, a resurgence of the communist menace in our land. including from newcomers to our country who embrace ideas totally opposed to our way of life and our great success." End quote. On the National Mall the next night, for the actual 250th anniversary, he returned to the same theme. Gonzalez's Fox News interview, published the day after that speech, landed as the capstone of a message the administration had already spent nearly 2 weeks delivering, from a far more credentialed messenger. And that credentialed messenger is also the reason precision cuts both ways here. Trump's communist label isn't an accurate description of Ocasio-Cortez, Tlaib, or any of the 2026 DSA nominees, and this show won't adopt it either. They're democratic socialists operating inside the Constitution. They run in primaries they can lose, serve fixed terms, and push their agenda. Higher taxes on wealth, public housing, government-run grocery stores, through ordinary legislation, not through one-party rule or seized industry. That is a fundamentally different thing than the six-decade record above. Every regime in it pairing central economic planning with the end of competitive elections. Calling a democratically elected democratic socialist a communist is inaccurate. Watching the number climb from 2 seats to a projected 6, on a trajectory a man whose own family fled actual communism calls a vicious cycle. That's a legitimate thing to track. With the real numbers, not the rounded up ones. So here's the bottom line. 2 DSA members sit in Congress today. 4 more just won primaries in safely blue seats and are favored to make it 6 by January of 2027. More than 30 self-identified socialists won primaries nationwide this cycle. None of that is double digits yet, and Mike Gonzalez never claimed it was. His warning is about where the line is headed, from a man whose family lived through what waits at the end of it. History's verdict on that endpoint isn't ambiguous. Tens of millions dead in China, a Soviet economy that collapsed under its own debt, a Cuba still rationing bread 6 decades later. None of that makes a democratically elected socialist a communist, but it is exactly the record Gonzalez wants Congress and voters to reckon with before the count gets any higher. Every number and quote in this episode traces back to Fox News, the Heritage Foundation, the Washington Examiner, and the peer-reviewed and historical sources linked in the full story. Check every source for yourself at civicintelligence.news. And if you want the next accountability story read to you, subscribe. New episodes wherever you get your podcasts.